Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're highlighting great people doing great things. Something I don't talk about much. I typically bring either teenagers or college students into the studio to shadow me during the week. And sometimes they come with me to CBS 46. Sometimes they roll with me on MSNBC just to get exposure to the media climate, to policy, to debate. One of the young men who I met at a Sunday brunch over at Harold's Chicken and Ice Bar, he's a law school student at Georgia State University. Very impressive brother. He has been shadowing me here at the radio station. Taos Nguyen, president and founder of the Millennial Civil Rights Campaign. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, man. You're on the show now. You've sat here long enough. Now you are on the microphone.
Right. Switch roles, right?
Exactly. You have a lot going on. So you're president and founder of the Millennial Civil Rights Campaign, a campaign launched on the 55th anniversary of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. The campaign is led by millennial leaders such as yourself, has garnered the support of Congressman John Lewis and other Atlanta civil rights leaders, elected officials, and community stakeholders. The campaign is not exclusive or solely beneficial to millennials, but rather the movement is focused on bringing all people, regardless of age, gender, lifestyle, together for the purpose of formulating and implementing meaningful solutions to our nation's most pressing issues. So let's talk about the objective of this movement and why you thought it was important to have millennials engaged in a very, very strategic civil rights process.
Sure. So there's a lot of perception around millennials in general, right? A lot of people feel as though there's a lack of engagement. And so what we were doing was we were really trying to shift that identity and provide a new identity, because there are actually so many millennials out there getting involved, doing the work in the communities, speaking out about some of the most pressing issues. And so we wanted to highlight that, and we wanted to cultivate that energy into a specific campaign, which was the Millennial Civil Rights Campaign. And so as far as the objective, like you said, we really wanted to have an answer and provide some of the meaningful solutions to some of the issues, the nation's most pressing issues. And we have two objectives overall, what we call generational change and generational justice.
Okay.
And so generational change, what we mean by that is a continuous commitment to improve society in a perpetual manner that disallows the political, social, economic, and environmental issues of our generation to be inherited by the next. And then by generational justice, what we refer to as the implementation of equitable practices that prevent reoccurrences of systemic injustice. And so those are the two overarching objectives of the campaign.
Let's get into the weeds.
Sure.
Let's get into the weeds. What are the specific goals to achieve your ultimate goal?
Right. And so one of the things that we were looking at was we wanted to start initially with racial tensions. Mm-hmm. Right now it's a hot topic. And in addition to that, gun violence is also a very hot topic.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, in response to the mass shootings that took place in Dayton, Ohio, and also in El Paso, Texas, one thing we wanted to do is really give voice on behalf of millennials in the state of Georgia. And so what we did was we partnered with elected officials here in the state, such as Senator Donzella James, Representative Darshan Kendrick, Representative Derek Jackson. And we put together a press conference where we gave a response to those shootings and really just encouraged common sense gun reform, mm-hmm. and background checks and things that unanimously people across the board have said that they wanted ultimately, but we want to provide an answer from the state of Georgia. And so it was really cool to see everybody come together behind that cause. But that was our approach to really speak out and give light to the gun violence and some of the issues that are taking place now.
As a millennial, do you think the older generation, do you think they move too slow for you? Hmm.
I don't think they move too slow. I think we move differently. Mm-hmm. And I think the millennial generation has a different approach to a lot of issues and a different voice, a different tone where a lot of issues are concerned. And so there's nothing wrong with the voice that came before us. And there's nothing wrong with the pace of movement from the generation that came before us. What we want to do is we want to harness the energy of all that. We right. want to be able to stand on the shoulders of the generation that came before us and really take the baton of progress that they provided and allow us to move forward and maybe even further it more in our generation.
What I appreciate about your group and the movement that you are heading is the fact that you're looking for direct connection from gatekeepers,
right.
from those who have been here. And I've said for years, there has to be a bridge that connects the young millennial activists to those that are not so young. Because the not so young, they have tremendous institutional knowledge.
Sure.
They have a lot of wisdom to share. But I think they can also be easily offended. And I think millennials sometimes can be immature and impatient. And the truth is, you should be. Because stuff should have changed a long time ago. Right?
Right.
And what has the conversation been between you and other millennials when you tell them about this let's connect all approach?
So the main thing is finding common ground.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of passionate people with a lot of different feelings and sentiments that go into a lot of the issues, a lot of the hot topic issues that are going on. And so finding the common ground as well as having a very focused energy and direction moving forward. And so, for instance, when we want to stand for something, we want our messaging to be clear. We want it to be underlined by principles that we believe are very important. And so we exercise principles of nonviolence and unity, as well as we stress the importance of having a very specific agenda moving forward. And so these are some of the things that we look for as far as finding that common ground and finding the solutions that we present.
I think there's obviously a lot of commonplace, but you have to be okay with the areas you can't agree on, right?
Sure, absolutely. And there will be some disagreement.
Sure.
A lot of people feel like a lot of things should change, and it's just a matter of how should those things change that we may not necessarily totally agree on.
Yeah.
But like I said, we want everything that we do to be based on our principles. We want to hold true to the fact that everyone deserves respect, everyone matters, and everyone can make a difference. And so keeping that logic in mind, really basing our solutions in that approach.
Millennial civil rights, that's what you're calling it.
Yes.
We're going to talk about why you chose that name on the other side.
Sure.
Call us. You can call us at 404-892-2703, 404-892-2703. You're still getting real with the Realest Man on Radio, News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Man, we're having deep conversation during the commercial break. Good stuff. Very engaged, brothers. 404-892-2703. I still have in the studio Taos Nguyen, president and founder of the Millennial Civil Rights Campaign. Why call it Millennial Civil Rights?
Right. So we wanted the emphasis. We knew we wanted the emphasis to be on human and civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
And then we knew that a response was needed to the surmounting issues in the nation. And so what we did was we really just tailored the name after our generation.
Okay.
And so because we wanted the initiative to be millennial-led, and to really make a mark for our generation, that's where the name Millennial Civil Rights came into play.
Now, was this all-inclusive with white people, brown people?
Absolutely. And so this is completely inclusive. We wanted everybody to be a part of it,
right?
Because we feel like everybody has something to bring to the table and something of value. And so it is open to all people, all genders, all lifestyles, all ethnicities.
All right. Let me go to David in Atlanta. He has a question for you. David, good day. Welcome.
Thank you. Good day, Rashad. How are you gentlemen doing?
Good.
Doing good.
Okay, great. I've really been appreciating today's show from the beginning of keeping the legacy of Mr. Oliver.
Yes.
And then now when I hear this gentleman, I'm really excited because I was just telling my son, he's 13 years old, and I'm engaged with a nonprofit in which our specific goal is to make sure we're able to pay his property to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been telling my son about I want to get him with other gentlemen like this gentleman, even though he's a little older. So I'm very excited because I want my son to be a part of this organization.
Awesome.
I like to,
how old is your son, David?
He's 13.
Yeah, he needs to roll with these cats because
yes,
this gives him an example to look up to as well.
Yes, it does. And that's why I was thinking when I was on hold that I need this gentleman to mentor my son in the best way he can because I'm teaching my son that he has a land patent went to come all the way from the generation of Mr. Oliver who couldn't read and write, and some were able to pay his property even though they couldn't read and write. So the intent of contracts are very important. So by this gentleman's sudden law, he will be able to explain to my son what I'm trying to explain to him, and at the same time teaching them their federal rights about lawful. And I don't want to go much further, but I definitely need to contact him and want to put those two together along with other children to the fact that I would dedicate a lot to them building a chapter to in a specific place. I just don't want to see where yet.
All right.
I'm very excited. I'm not lying. That's why I say it on the radio, and I need this guy's telephone number. And I'm renewing my NACP membership also because of how you were talking last week, Rashad.
Awesome. Awesome, brother. Make sure you join. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Thank you, David. Okay. We're going to give out the information in just a moment.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, man. And I tell people all the time, if you have a problem with any group, that's the group you need to join. If you tell me that everybody in the NAACP, they're not doing what they're supposed to do, they don't take up the major issues, well, that means you need to join, because at least then you know to be at least one right person in the organization. Listen, give out your information, brother, for people to contact you and connect.
Sure. So if people want to connect to what we're doing in the campaign in general, they can visit www.millennialcivilrights.com, and there's a sign-up form on the actual website, as well as they can feel free to email us at info@millennialcivilrights.com, and they can get in contact with us that way.
What's the process to becoming part of the Millennial Civil Rights Movement?
Sure. So everybody signs up via the website, and then after they sign up, we hold different orientation sessions where we let people know our principles, the things that we stand for, and our objectives moving forward, as well as update them on the upcoming campaigns that we have, the upcoming initiatives.
Do you have a set list of what people need to believe in order to be part of the group?
So what we try to do is just indoctrinate people with what we already believe. So our principles, like I referenced earlier, are the fact that we truly believe that everyone matters, everyone deserves respect, and everyone can make a difference. And that's why we're so inclusive in our approach. And so we let people know that. We also let people know that we're coming from a standpoint of nonviolence, and we hone in on that as well. And so between our principles of nonviolence, unity, we try to indoctrinate people in that so they know what they're getting into and the expectations they have as well.
Where do you stand on the issue of voting rights? That was a big deal in Georgia, especially during the gubernatorial election, right?
Sure.
Where you basically had legalized voter suppression. And I'm not saying that to be hyperbolic. A judge literally said there was voter suppression happening in this state.
Right. So that was, wow. In short, we felt like we needed to do something because of that. Voting is a fundamental right of our democracy, and so therefore we feel it should be protected. Those provisions were already allotted for in the law, and a lot of that is being stripped, as you know.
Right.
And so what we're doing right now is taking a proactive approach, and we're getting ready for a college tour. So what we're looking at doing is we're hosting something called the Free Democracy Tour, and we're going to hit 6 college campuses.
Okay.
And during that time, what we're going to do is we're going to, one, let people know the reason why we should engage, number one. Two, give them the tools to engage, the tools being principles of nonviolence, unity, and direct action. And then three, let them know the immediate action that we can take forward, as well as what we're doing is leading up to this Georgia legislative session, we're actually drafting legislation to present that underlies a lot of the principles that we believe in.
You're big on the advocacy and lobbying mode
Sure.
that's needed to change policy. If a person joins your group, would they get trained on becoming a citizen lobbyist?
Absolutely. Not only will they know what we're doing, because we're very transparent with that, with people who sign up for our organization, but in addition to that, like I said, we really want to give people the tools they need to be successful so that they're not just advocating various things, but the messaging is consistent and concise. And so we equip everybody with the tools they need, as well as they can join us in some of our lobbying efforts.
If somebody's listening and they want to contribute to your organization because they know that it's needed,
Sure.
how can they do that?
So on the website, millennialcivilrights.com, there's a donate tab at the very top of the website, and they can just click on that tab and make a donation that way.
Man, I'm very proud of you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
I really am. I'm thankful that, one, you're going to become a lawyer very soon, right, increasing your impact in this world. But the fact that you're so active and involved, even before you get into the realm of law, is remarkable. And anything I can do to help, I'm always here.
Thank you. Thank you, Rashad.
All right. How can people connect with you on social media?
They can connect at Millennial Civil Rights on Instagram, and they can connect with me personally at Teos Nguyen on all social media.
TAOSWYNN.
Correct.
TAOSWINN. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. 404-892-2703 to get you into combo today. 404-892-2703. You're still getting real with the realest man on radio. News and talk. 1380 WAOK.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.